wanted me to do it. I've given this training years back, but it's just it's a fascinating concept because people look at it and say, "What do you mean you don't? What I don't know, I don't know." You know. And I remember my first experience was that too. And the intriguing part, it is, this topic really comes from a great article by Dr. Joe Rubino on coaching. But it also comes from a lot of self-development coaches and work. If you've done work in the self-development area, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it's basically how I describe sometimes when people say to me, "Mary Jo, do you think I should go to this personal mastery class by Klemmer?" And I go, well, I call it kind of, and what is it all about? What am I going to learn? What am I going to do? Or the championship workshop. And I kind of look at people and I say, well, you know, there's a certain amount of stuff out there that you know. And that's, you know how to, you know, hand out a ready, set, go pack. Or you know how to, you know, sign somebody up. And you know how to do the laundry. And you know how to cook lasagna. And you know, that's our, we have this huge area of things that we know. And then there's things that we know we don't know. And those are things like, I don't know how a nuclear reactor works. I don't know all the intricacies of even how a car functions, because I don't care. I'm one of these people that, you know, don't even know a tremendous amount about the computer and how it functions, because I just delegate that to Lydia, and she's in charge of that part of my life. So I just don't dig into all the intricacies of all that, because I don't care to load up on that information. But there's a whole block of information out there that's available to us, but we know that we don't know it, right? I mean, we can look at it and say, no, I don't know about that, and I don't know. There's certain things I just haven't put my energy behind to totally understand. Anyway, so there's the areas of what we know and then what we don't know. And it's intriguing that there's a tremendous area, far greater than probably what we know and what we know we don't know, on things that what we don't know, we don't know. And that is what we're going to talk about today. Because if we look at life and we look at us just growing as human beings, we look at ourselves as people who just try to increase our knowledge. And no matter what your goal is in life, you should always be on a path to how do I increase my knowledge? How do I increase my beingness? How do I, you know, because I want to always look at myself, how do I improve to be a better person? And working towards, you know, improvement in all areas of my life, even my marriage. I look at, okay, as great as your marriage might be, you still want to improve it. Because that's, you know, the concept for me in life is you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. So if you're not in pursuit of betterment, then you're satisfied with mediocrity, or you're satisfied and with where you are. And if you're satisfied with where you are and you're not moving, I'm going to suggest that there is no such thing as a status quo of, or the word status quo per se. There's no such thing as the word stability, because if you're not moving forward, you're going to be moving backwards. You're deteriorating. So you're either green and growing, or you're deteriorating. So the choices are pretty clear. And for me, it's always about green and growing. How do I improve? It's one of the reasons why, you know, probably like many of you, I choose to read books. I try to read a book a week and tackle it. When I travel a lot, I bring books every single time I travel to read, to just tackle new information, new knowledge, new ideas, new concepts. And again, that's to enhance the knowledge I already have and to tweak and fine-tune what I know, and maybe to replace things that I thought I knew I were accurate, but now I can replace them with new information. And also for self-improvement, just getting to be a better person. So we need change for things to change, and that's really clear. And some of you stuck in your Manatech business, you need to really look at this for your Manatech business as a whole. You know, you keep doing the same thing over and over again. And some of the people I'm coaching right now through some of my power trainings, they talk about their lives being like one vicious circle. It's just like a vicious circle. And I'm like, well, you know, my response to that is, well, who's going to stop it? You know, I mean, you know, we feel like we're in this vicious circle, and it's like, okay, so how is it going to stop? And I'm like, you know, it gets to that definition of insanity. I keep doing the same things over and over again, and I expect things to be different. That's a great definition. They call it the definition of insanity, but I just call it, you know, a statement that gives us some insight into why our life isn't changing. if we keep doing the same things over and over again, we're going to continue creating the same results. So for things to change, who must change? We must change. And that's the importance of continuing to grow in our knowledge. You can improve your knowledge by, you know, building new skills, adding computer skills, communication skills, coaching skills, whatever it might be. And I honor all of you who take on the role to do that. I mean, we've got tons of people signed up in the power trainings today, and that's, I honor everyone who does things like that, because it's just, you're just taking it, you're exerting energy in a direction to say, I want to be better. I want to improve. I want to learn more. If there's something more out there, I want to grab onto it because, you know, I need new skills. I need to fine-tune my skills. I need to, you know, look at this world differently. I need to take the crystal and turn it to peek at it differently because, you know, even if what you're doing is working, no matter how, you know, you could say, well, Mary Jo, you're effective. You're, you know, you're presidential. You're silver presidential. You're growing this business. You're, you know, before all this stuff went on, you were really close to platinum and no more, but that's okay too because I'll get back there. But the idea is that it doesn't, it's about, it's not about ever getting satisfied, you know, with where you are because, you know, you get fat and sassy and you think that things are going great. And I have people that do that not just at presidential levels. I have some people that do it when their checks in Manatech as, you know, significant executive directors. All of a sudden their checks get juicy and they've never made that much money in their life and then they get excited about that. And what happens is around the excitement about that, they start spending more money and then they would do what? They create a nightmare for themselves. It's not about getting satisfied. It's not about being dissatisfied. It's just not about being like thinking that you've arrived. You want to move on and you want to continue to push yourself to new limits and increase your skills. So we need to always be out there, you know, adding to our skill set. And as we add to our skill set, of course, we're dipping more into the pool of what we don't know. We're grabbing onto more things that we don't know. But as this Joe Rubino said, we spend most of our time, 95% of our time, in one of those two areas, either in the areas of what we know, so we're doing what we know and we're just moving ahead in our life with things that we know, or we spend time learning new things out of that pool of information of things that we do not know. But again, as Rubino said, our most extraordinary growth in our lives come from outside of either of those two areas. It's really tapping into the vast variety of ideas that we don't even know exist. And that's the arena of what we don't know, we don't know. And sometimes into tapping into, like a lot of people in my power trainings, around the listening skills, the scarcity mentality one, the commitment arena, people are finding out things they didn't know they didn't know. They thought they knew, but they really didn't know. Some of my people in my listening skills class were just blown away. They go, Mary Jo, I never understood that was how we were, you know, that was an avenue of listening. You know, it was so resoundingly different from what they'd ever done in their life that they looked at it saying, you know, this is something I didn't know I didn't know. I always thought listening was like this. I never knew that this even existed. I never knew that the structure of listening, I never knew this application existed. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And that's where your most extraordinary growth comes from. Or a person that says, I never knew the definition of commitment. So you live your whole life based on a definition. You didn't know that you didn't know what the word commitment really meant. And what a difference it is when you put a new meaning on a word that you didn't know, and then you start applying it to your life, and then you can start seeing yourself in a real light around the word commitment. So it's just a cool thing. It's what we don't know, we don't know. There's just a lot of stuff out there. How do we tap into that arena? How do we tap into what we don't know, we don't know? Well, you know, one way of doing it is just purely pursuing more skills because we're going to find out that some of the things that we thought we knew aren't really true. So we didn't know that the other things exist out there. The major area for me has always been in my life is self-development courses. Power of Purpose is one. Of course, as all of you know, I've done a tremendous amount of Clemmer work and promote it very highly because I just think it's terrific stuff. Teresa Romaine, there's just a lot of, I can go Landmark. There are a lot of tremendous programs out there around personal development. But I really highly suggest that if you choose personal development work, that you find things that are experiential in nature. And experiential, in other words, it's not lectures, it's not reading books, it's really experiential means that you go through experiences. You're actively participating in the classroom activity. So because that's where you really show up, when you can start seeing yourself in action. That's what made such a big difference for me. I always knew I was a competitive person, but it wasn't until I saw myself in a game where I came out in a group in a personal development seminar in a game, and I saw that competitive nature come out, and it just almost knocked me on the floor because I started seeing how ineffective it was, how I would shut people down, and how it was, you know, it was always about me, and it was, you know, it was always about winning. And it was really incredible. I mean, but it's those kind of experiences, seeing yourself in action so that you can start seeing the price you pay by the choices we make. And then you find out, see, I never knew. Here's something I never knew. It fell into the category, we don't know what we don't know, right? I just thought I was competitive. I didn't know that there was such a thing as choosing around who I was. I didn't know that it was a choice about being competitive. Now, some of you can laugh at that and say, boy, Mary Jo, that's pretty silly. I would have thought you would have known that. Well, good job, but I didn't. I mean, I was 40-some years old before I figured that out, and it wasn't that I read a book to figure it out. It was through a self-development course that I figured that out, that was just a choice I could make so I could truly choose around it instead of just claim it as me. I was claiming certain characteristics and certain behavioral patterns as me, as who I was, instead of choices I could make. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to know you have choices around who you are, and it's a beautiful thing so you can choose to be different. Because even as effective as you might be, we can reach another level of effectiveness, and that's the goal. Each level of effectiveness. Okay, now I'm here. Now I want to achieve one more level of effectiveness. So how do I move forward to achieve that? And that's our whole process. We're only here on Earth so long. So why are we not choosing into how can I be the most effective in everything that I do and continue to work in that arena? So self-development courses are absolutely terrific. And like I said, I really highly suggest you look at courses that are saturated with, you know, experiential training, things that you really get to see yourself playing life out, so that, you know, in fact, I call it like a dojo experience. It's like a practice mat. And I have a tendency to say that to people in my classes on doing homework and commitments and things like that, because, you know, when people show up in my courses and my classes and my trainings, I always tell them, you know, the way you show up here is no different than how you're showing up in life. So really, my trainings are just dojos too, because, you know, if you're not doing your homework in the class that you take from Mary Jo, I can guarantee you that you're not committed to following through on other things in your life either. It's not just Mary Jo's class. You can go, oh, but that's just because of this, this, and this. Or people make excuses why they don't do the homework. And it's really intriguing to listen to the excuses. But I guarantee you, if I walked one day in that person's life, just one day in that person's life, I would hear that person use excuses for 20 other things that weren't happening the way they should happen in their life. But people want to hide behind that. They want to, you know, that's their mechanism. They have these little mechanisms of protection, and that's their mechanism. Well, you can choose to be ineffective, and that's what people are doing when they do that. They're choosing to be ineffective. It's not who you are. It's what you're choosing to be. So is it hard to choose differently? Oh, my gosh. Not easy. How many of you think it's easy to change? Yeah, right. No, it's not easy to change. It's not. But when you see the price you pay, then you decide, wow, I'm going to change. I'm going to do something differently. Another way to do tapping into, you know, that area of what we don't know is coaching, is finding a great coach, finding somebody who you can coach with, who is willing to take you on as a coaching person and as a client, and they will help you see things that are totally missing in your life. They'll help you see yourself differently. They'll help, you know, open your eyes to things you've never seen before, and we all need that, because we didn't come out of the womb being, you know, a natural network marketer. I mean, that didn't happen. So when you look at your business in Manatech, you know, no one came out perfect networker, and I don't know about you guys, but I was very far from it. I mean, I was in the left field. I had never even conceptualized networking. but you know, so I had to work at it. I had to shift and change, and I got a coach early on in my networking business. Probably after the first year and a half, I got a coach. My coaching that I did was more around leadership. I wanted to make sure I developed the leadership skills I needed. How do I lead others? How do I motivate others? How do I get other people to move forward in their life? So I took some coaching on that. So we look at the needs we have in our area, and we get those coaches around that, and then they open our eyes to things we never knew that we didn't know. There's a newness and a freshness around it that creates a whole new world of possibilities for us. And that's what we want to do, is open that door to that whole new field of possibilities. And then there's also mentoring relationships. And mentoring is different from coaching, and everybody needs to recognize that. A coach has a lot more freedom to work with you on your core values, core beliefs, core structure, and there's a lot more intensity around coaching. Mentoring is more of a person who writes the ship. You know, it's somebody that says, well, I think you're going the wrong direction here, da-da-da-da. Or even with mentoring, let me make myself even clear. Mentoring relationship, you really don't even have to talk to a mentor necessarily. Some of you consider Mary Jo being a mentor in your life because you're on my Monday calls. Just listening to the calls or listening them off of the ManaTrain website, that becomes a mentoring relationship for you. It helps support you. It helps motivate you. It helps drive you. It gives you momentum. It gives you direction. It gives you ideas you never thought of before. That's a mentoring relationship. Because I'm not getting intricately involved or intimately involved in your personal life, but you're tapping into Mary Jo as a mentor. And that's great, because we need mentoring relationships. And it's from mentoring relationships we can also tap into our areas of what we don't know, we don't know. So those are kind of the concepts that you can use to tap into those areas and start digging. But you've got to be the one that takes the energy and makes the choice that you're going to do something different, that you're going to step in and say, I'm looking for that area of what I don't know. I want to pursue it. I want to find it. I want that new dimension in my life of pursuit that opens new avenues for me and new gates that I don't even see. And you know, we need to constantly look at how do we do that. And some of you can say, well, what does that look like, Mary Jo? I guess, I gave you a little bit idea of my experience around competitiveness. I probably have 20 other things off the top of my head just about me. But the other thing you can look at is just like even looking at, let's take, for instance, the Dash for Cash incentive. Some of you, I reviewed the Dash for Cash incentive, and everybody looks at it one way, and then when I look at it, it came across totally different. It's getting somebody else's viewpoint of something that you may never see. You may never have seen it. You may never have seen the concept that, wow, if I'm going to earn 100 points, I'm not going to earn it in my name. I'm going to earn 50 in my name and 50 in my husband's, because that way I can earn $2,000 instead of only $1,500. You know, there are different ways of seeing what's in our world, and there are different eyes to see them through. We only have one set of eyes, you know. And again, a lot of you have been in my pathway class. You know that on the outside of my pathway books, I say, you know, to experience newness in life, and it doesn't require you to take a new journey. It requires you to have a new set of eyes. And that's kind of cool. You know, it's not about your journey. It's about a newness of how you look at things. And that's the importance that we take that on. We say, how can we see things through somebody else's eyes? Well, we get coached or mentored, or we go to self-development courses, and we start seeing the world a little differently and seeing ourselves differently, because we kind of are putting on a new set of eyes of how to look at it. The last half of the call, I just kind of want to spend on Adel Rubino's article about, you know, tapping into what you don't know, but he talked about how coaches operate and the coaching experience, you know, operating not from advice or opinions. Coaches are really people who come that come to work on, like, value-based concept versus ego-based. So it's not about the coach. It's about working on values, core values, and not, you know, you're not looking for a coach to get their opinion. You're looking at a coach to help you understand your opinions better, and maybe if there's another way to look at them instead of taking on a trek that you've been taking on. Coaches come in with no manipulation, no own agenda. They're not counselors or therapists. Sometimes in coaching, we tend to get into that because people really open up to that, and it's something that we have to be weary of and alert to it, so that we stay away from that arena, because it's easy to fall into that by all means. especially in Manitech, I think, because some people just have so many programs running life, so much history, they go victim mentality. But it's really the concept of opening, coaches open your eyes to see what you need to see about yourself. A great example of that is just even what we're going through in some of the power trainings today, where the homework is driven by doing that. The homework is all the homework I give out in my coaching classes is driven to have you open your eyes to see you better. So I have you do self-analysis and you do self-awareness about who am I. So you, not, I mean, who are you, but not, I meant that in terms of what you would quote to yourself, who you are. Take a look at what you know, scarcity mentality you have in your life. What language are you using in your life that shows up as scarcity mentality? And how is it impacting your life? It's not Mary Jo telling you how it should or shouldn't. It's just you making an assessment of you. It's your self-assessment. And that's what coaches are about, helping you make self-assessments, helping you. It's not their agenda. It's not their opinion. But it comes from opening your eyes to you and then allowing you to fine-tune you. So I don't tell people action to take. I could write a whole book about the actions I would take if I were you. But, you know, and I might give somebody an idea because some people get stuck. The reality of coaching is that people get stuck. So sometimes you have to just, you know, give them an idea or a concept so they can start opening that door. Because when we get stuck hard. I mean, people really, it's like a real roadblock. It's almost like, oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, I can't see. You know, I can't see another foot ahead of me. And when you feel like you're in that, predicament, and some of you might be feeling that way in your management business today, you might be like, man, am I stuck. I'm just stuck. I'm going to suggest to you that you find a mentor or, somebody in a group and just do some brainstorming. Get a team of three or four people together. You can get on a phone call. Grab onto three or four people and say, let's have a call today and let's just shoot the breeze and just throw some ideas about how we, you know, like people are saying, Mary Jo, I don't know how to do the business now that they took all those materials away. I said, really? You don't know how to do? I said, I signed up four people last week. I guess there must be some way that you can do the business still. Right? Of course there is. Of course. But you're just stuck because somebody somehow took your mechanism away and you're stuck on, oh my gosh, I don't have new mechanisms. And I go, great. Well, I think the best way to do it is to probably brainstorm with three other people and just get some ideas and toss them around. I know Wendy Kramer's doing a call tonight for some of you that may be stuck. If you can get on Wendy Kramer's training call, she has a training call tonight about how to do business under the new regime. And just talk about, how to language it, how to get out there and talk to people using the 100% money-back guarantee. There's just so many tools out there. There's DVDs that are compliant that you can still use. There's information that's still compliant. You just get out and start working as you did before. You're just shifting language a little bit. So maybe you're not out there, trying to convince everybody that you can cure, heal, and mitigate their disease because you're using all those third-party materials. Well, great. I'm glad you're not doing that anymore. It was a very uncomfortable position to be in the first place. Because we're not doctors and we're not curing, healing, and caring. We really are helping people with wellness. So now we get to go back to do what we need to be doing, which is helping wellness. But it's that kind of stuckedness that, don't wallow in it. We as people, tend to wallow in it. A good coach will take you out of the wallow because we don't let people stay stuck. But getting unstuck is about you moving. It's not about something else. You can look at Manitech and say, why aren't they giving us new materials? Why are they? But don't point your finger at Manitech. You're the one that's choosing to stay stuck. It's not Manitech's problem. It's your problem. So how do you get unstuck? That's what you need to resolve. You need to move on. You need to, unstick that. Whatever you are, you need to release it and move forward because there are 101 ways to get out there and talk to people about wellness. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun. It's more exciting. It's more fun. It's less threatening. It's simple. And it's just, a much more desirable way of moving this business forward. So coaching is great for that. It's about, getting people unstuck and helping them with ideas. But again, not our opinions, not our ideas, but rather opening people up to see differently. It's allowing people to get a new set of eyes. We don't rescue people. We just listen to experiences and maybe add, you know, where's the missing ingredient? What are they not seeing? You know, what are they looking at? And, you know, what picture do they have versus the picture they need to have? Also, taking people off of negative realms onto positive realms. We do a lot of that in coaching. Coaching is real big in that arena. We do, the technique as outlined in the outline is we do it by asking questions, exploring possibilities, making requests, and at the same time confronting issues that really need to be examined. So there's some confrontation. Skilled coaching is really a fine art. It's a valuable service to people, but it really has to do with confronting people's issues. But it's never about telling. It's never about telling. So if you find yourself in a coaching environment, it's not about telling, because it's about the arena of what the person doesn't know they don't know, and opening the window up and the door for them to realize that. And that's what coaching is about. So when you look at coaching characteristics, I put a whole list of them in the outline today, listening to what might be missing to accomplish a result, and honoring your client's values. Of course, understanding their values is a critical part of it, because a lot of times we like to cast our own values on other people, and that may not be the core values coming from the person you're coaching. So in many instances, what you want to do is you want to first find out where that core value structure is with the person you're coaching. You want to find out from you. If you haven't done a real solid core value experience or core value exercise to determine that for you, you may really consider doing that. I do one of those in my pathway class for people as a core value exercise, because I really believe if you don't have that clear, it's kind of like, you know, it's getting on a ship and not knowing directionally where you're going. It's your compass for your life. And if you don't have a compass for your life, wow, I don't know where you're going. How can a coach help you with direction when you don't have your own compass in place? Does that make some sense to you guys? It's a concept that you really need to really sit down and do that core value analysis. And, you know, and no one ever... You know, of course, I was raised as in a Christian family, and I went to church all my life and, you know, fell off the path a little bit during college years and that kind of stuff, like a lot of us do, and then got back on track, and now probably more entrenched than ever in my entire life. But the idea was that no one had ever done a core value analysis for me. I mean, no one brought that into my life. I just kind of said, well, I'm a Christian. Well, you know, you could say, what are your core values? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, that doesn't define core values. That doesn't define core values, because all of us have different core values that land up on our chart of what are the most important core values in your life. What is your compass? What are you driven by? And when you find those core values that are driving you, you're going to find your passion within those core values. But to suggest that Christian values are your core values is staying in a total area of lack of clarity about who you are and what's most important to you. So again, establishing for yourself what are the core values, what are your five most important values in your life. And it's a tough exercise to do, because a lot of you are going to go, that's impossible because I don't have five most important. And I'm going to suggest to you, you're going to stay in a sense of, you know, meandering generalities the rest of your life. Because we all really do have certain values that drive us more than other ones do, and therein lies our passion. And it just was a terrific discovery path for me. And some of you might be able to guess what your number one core value is without even doing an exercise, because if you start looking at your life and how you're running your life and how passionate you are about certain things, you're going to be able to look at that and figure it out. But others of you who feel like you're, you know, in that vicious circle or meandering generality, you're lost because you haven't done that core analysis. And that's what's going to help you get back on track and keep the faith and keep the direction, because that compass is missing. So important to do that value analysis with people. Lead by example and champion others to step into leadership. Exactly. You always want to lead by example. It's the number one thing. You're out of integrity. Don't expect anyone else to be into integrity. You don't do goals and set goals. Don't expect anyone in your organization to set goals. You cannot expect other people that you're coaching to do things that you're not willing to do yourself. So it makes it ridiculously hard for somebody to coach people in Manitech when they refuse to set goals. And I have people that do that. And it's sad, because the results are clear. they're going to end up being ineffective, and the people underneath them are going to be ineffective, and it's going to be, oh, Mary Jo, why did my business fall off? And I go, well, I don't know. Maybe we got to look at leadership. Where did you start? Did you help people set goals? Did you support them in making commitments in their life? Or are you so afraid of commitments yourself that you won't do them? Well, guess what you're going to create in your organization? Really. I don't know any. You look at the presidentials in Manitowoc and find me one that doesn't have real strong commitment philosophy, a real strong goal-setting philosophy, a real strong, you know, like work ethic towards, you know, planning around meeting goals and being directed in their life. It doesn't happen. And you wonder why yours isn't working. Well, you know, there's some pretty core principles there that you need to have for it to work for you. You have to be committed to your client's excellence and at the same time not attached to it. In other words, you've got to be able to, like, totally committed to a client, but, you know, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you can't want it more than they want. Does that make sense? So a lot of you guys, this even gets into, you know, trying to sign people up in Manitowoc. I get people that send me emails, and they go, oh, Mary Jo, I just talked to this guy. He said he was really interested. He was going to call me back, and then he never called me back. Oh, and I'm like, oh, so? I mean, you guys get so wrapped up in somebody not having integrity. What does that have to do with you? Why do we take it so personal? When somebody doesn't have integrity, it's not a statement about you. It's a statement about them. When somebody says, I'll call you back tomorrow, and they don't call you back, is that a problem with you? You take it personally. Oh, they don't like me. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm like, give me a break. Somebody else shows up with no integrity, and somehow that's about you. Time out. Okay? So same thing around coaching. When, you know, you support a client, you help boost them, you help with their, you know, asking questions, leading them down a path, giving them some information, watching them grow and develop and learn more about themselves. And if they don't do certain things, you know, it's not you. We get bummed because we want them so badly to work out, especially if we're coaching people in our organization, because we pay a price when they don't work effectively. But you can't make somebody do anything they don't choose to do themselves. You can't make them do it. All you can do is be a coach. Support them in acknowledging and learning what they don't know, and then they've got to go up and do it. You want to be grounded as a coach in personal development-based principles, so you want to understand integrity and all those things. You want to understand people and responsible. I had one person tell me the other day that she felt like she had to be needed by her downline. Now, I think that's incredible. I go, I don't want to be needed by my downline. I want my downline to be totally independent. I want my people to need me for things that they don't feel they're capable of doing only. In other words, if they don't feel like they can go visit doctors, then maybe I can tap into them. But even then, I want to teach them how to do it so they can do it on their own. Now, building independence, not being needed. That's what network marketing is about. The reason you want to be needed is why? Because somehow it promotes your ego. It's a stroke to you. It has nothing to do with effective network marketing. It's your own insecurity about who you are. So when are you going to cast that aside and start building independence in your organization? Yeah, huge concept. So that's just holding people capable. And if you look at it a different way, when you're out there working with people and you want to be their rescuer and you want to always be needed by them, you set yourself up with a big R on your forehead that you rescue people all the time. What you're really doing when you rescue somebody is you're looking at them and you're saying, I don't hold you capable. And when you do that, why do you have a right to hold people incapable? Just to make yourself feel better? Look at that if that's happening in your organization and really do some self-analysis of that for yourself, because that's a big thing that a lot of people do. Other coaching is supporting the person to be their best. Of course, we always want to do that, accomplish their goals. How can you help them accomplish their goals if you're not getting them to set goals, because you don't set goals? Never, ever make a person you coach feel small or dependent. You know, my people I coach, it's always about the power they have. They're very powerful people. They just need, you know, it's just tweaking. It's about tweaking and opening their eyes to new things. They're very powerful people. And it's always about reinforcing the power that they carry. champion those being coached by the, you know, to be the best they can be. You know, that's really what you want to do, and make us invisible to them. I want to be invisible in their life. I want to be that little fly on the wall, and that's how, that's when I'm being the best coach I can be. Always to get permission to tell the truth from people you talk to, because some people don't want to hear truth. So you got to make sure that that permission is granted. Sometimes I fall off that wagon because I have such a tendency to want to just jump right in. And that's going to cause you to offend people sometimes. But I always kind of call my stuff feedback. So I tell people it's feedback. You don't want to take it in, you don't have to take it in. It's feedback. You choose what you take in, you can leave what's behind. It's feedback. But you don't want to shatter people by being so honest. Always, we have a safe environment to allow people to be vulnerable. I have some people, even in my power trainings, that said, Mary Jo, I'm not doing the homework because I don't want to share these things. And I go, really? And it's intriguing because it's almost like they think that I'm going to like them less or have less thoughts about them if they tell me what's going on in their life so I can support them being better. They're going to think I'm going to feel less of them than if they totally break a commitment to do homework. See how that plays out in your life. Maybe some of you on the call have some of that stuff going on. Wow, kind of shocked me. There are a zillion stories out there. Your story is no worse than somebody else's story. I've heard them all. It's about being open and vulnerable. If you want to step into change, what's the number one thing you know you have to become? Vulnerable. Vulnerable. You got to be open and ready to change, and that opens a vulnerability. Change makes it outside the comfort zone. Change means you're doing something different that you didn't do before. It's vulnerability. It's an absolute must. In fact, vulnerability is a beautiful word. It's a word that's just a leadership terminology. There's not a leader I know of that doesn't become vulnerable, because that's how we learn how to be better. It's about being vulnerable, and we're vulnerable to the people we coach. Support coaching clients with accountability structure. That's critical, as I have, you know, coaching other people, and support the free flow of ideas and conversation so that you just, it's a constant openness. And within the realm of network marketing, a coaching relationship is often, you know, undertaken in regard to specific plans. Like somebody might call me and say, Mary Jo, I want you to coach me during this incentive period because I want to win XYZ. Great. Let's set up a coaching structure. And I have I don't know about other people, but I have a rule in my organization, in my downline, over 20,000 people or something in that arena. Anyone in my entire downline can get free coaching services from Mary Jo. That's my policy in my organization. And that means you get a free 20-minute coaching call every single week. It's structured at the same exact time. The only thing you have to do is you have to do two report forms that are accountability forms. And it's amazing that I'm coaching 7 people in my 20,000 downline today. And the main reason is I could coach, hundreds of them want to be coached, but they start coaching and then they don't do their accountability sheets. And if you're not going to do your two accountability sheets, well, you know, why would I as a coach pour into you? The reality is you've got to take action. You've got to hold yourself to be valuable. If you don't hold yourself to be valuable, the people around you won't either. So force people into an accountability realm in a relationship and coaching. And then balance in life. A coach also needs to work with people in balance, and I always do that. It's about life. It's about family. It's about what are you doing as self-honoring practices. Every one of us needs self-honoring practices, as you well know. And through self-honoring practices, that's where we get to keep our balance. Self-honoring looks many different ways. Some of you probably, when you hear the word self-honoring, you probably are in a quandary right off the top of your head. You're going, what does she mean by self-honoring? I'm going to talk about you. You, feeding you. How do I feed? I do my self-honoring. Reading books is self-honoring to Mary Jo. My time with Scripture, my prayer time, having a personal trainer, you know, working out with my personal trainer, that's self-honoring. Those are the kind of things that you build in your life because they know, number one, I know they're great for my life. They're about me feeding me. You can't constantly be out there feeding other people or you're just going to be totally erased. You're going to be zapped. And a zapped person is not an effective person. So feed yourself. So you make a list of self-honoring practices and make sure you're pouring time into that on a daily basis. There isn't a person that shouldn't be doing self-honoring practices every single day. So you have to do a discipline around that to make it a mainstay in your life, and that'll keep you going. Okay, people, that's it. That's it. So it's all about, you know, tapping into, you know, who you are, finding out what you know you don't know. What you don't know, I mean. So it's great finding coaches and mentoring people that are going to help you develop that and move forward on that realm, because there's just a tremendous amount of information out there that we don't know we don't know. And most of it has to do with us just, you know, getting a new set of eyes and tapping into it through either coaching or self-development seminars or power trainings or whatever it might be. But it's taking on yourself, taking on in a new light, acknowledging the fact that in order for things to change, you must change. So how are you going to take the next step to do that? Okay, any questions, any comments from anybody? *7, and you can get on and open up some commentary.
Hello. Hello, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is Janet Gillis in Austin.
Hey, hi, Janet.
Hi. I'm thinking about a new angle because everyone always has some disease and they want to know if it'll get better, and we're just going to avoid that. But a lot of people are taking nutritional supplements. So what can we say to show our nutritional supplements are superior to everyone else's? I know Nugent says that we have third-party testing, but I never see anything on the website or anywhere about that. So what do you say to show we have higher quality?
Well, you know, when people talk to me about what differentiates us from other products, the first and foremost thing I always respond to is the science of glycobiology. I just talk about the tremendous scientific breakthrough that distinguishes us above everybody when we talk about Ambertose. Because that's just what makes us head and shoulders above. When we talk about other products with Phytomatrix, it's very easy to talk about that product because there is no other 100% plant digested natural vitamin mineral supplement in the marketplace. There's no match to Phytomatrix today when you talk about where other vitamins and minerals, other vitamin mineral natural complexes are getting their minerals from the soil. So we're just eating rocks. In ours, it's once digested by a plant, now the bioavailability is off the charts inside our human body. So you want to make sure that 100% of the minerals are coming after they've been plant digested. So you can talk about Phytomatrix, and no one else has that technology. No one else is doing that. So that's what distinguishes our vitamin mineral, and that's one of the cool things about taking that product and replacing other people's vitamin minerals. And then when you get into some of the other products, you know, AO, I just talk about the in vivo studies, you know, about what it does in blood. We can use that study. It's not a disease study. It's a study out of Australia that shows that in blood, you know, in vivo, it increases your antioxidant value by 37%. That's pretty significant. You show me, you know, when you compare it to somebody else's antioxidant, show me how your green tea, where's your study behind your green tea that shows that that's what it does when you drink your green tea? People don't have that data to support the products they're taking, and you have the data to do that. And then if you look at, I guess, the other product that if we're going to stick to our four cores, we need to talk about Plus. And Plus is a product, I really tell people, I don't know of another, I'm sure there are other endocrine support products in the marketplace. I just know that I know I've had tremendous experience around this product, and that's what makes the difference for me. And when I have a company that has the kind of quality control standards that Manitech has in place, that's why I take their products, because I'm convicted about what they're doing and building and constructing their products that differentiates them from the majority of nutritional supplement companies out there.
So what kind of quality control does Manitech have?
I think what you need to do is you need to contact, there's a quality, if you look at their quality control department.
Well, you know, if you're not doing it, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I mean,
I just talk about the quality control that they have at each level, all the way from A to Z. I mean, they have quality control people out in the fields, everywhere we grow this stuff. They have quality control people at the different manufacturing facilities that we use around the world. Then they have an internal quality control department that we have that checks everything as it comes in. We have a, you know, $3 million lab, or $6 million lab, I think it is today, that it checks every single lot. And then we have another step of quality control that not anything gets shipped to a consumer until we send it out as a finished product to an outside independent laboratory to be checked one more time to have exactly the ingredients we say and the exact activity levels we say the ingredients have to have. And, you know, those are incredible steps. And you look at the millions of dollars they spend on quality control and the kind of staffing we have around it, it's incredulous. I mean, you know,
Mary
some companies don't have any. Yes.
Did you say
Is it possible to have
was sent to an outside lab?
Yes. We send every single lot that comes into Manatech as a finished product that comes in here in the Dallas area to be shipped into the distribution. Every single lot is not only tested in our laboratory by our quality control people, and they have to pass all the tests there. We send it to an outside independent lab to be tested.
But it doesn't say that on the website or anything. I mean, you say it, I hear it, but I never see it anywhere.
So you want it in writing somewhere?
Yeah. Mary Jo, is there anything that you have in writing for what you've just been answering this lady's question?
Do I have in writing? You mean, you know, why don't I do this? You guys are all intrigued by this, aren't you? Why don't I do this for you guys? I will spend this week, I will go over to Manatech headquarters sometime this week, and I will interview the quality control department, and I will write up a summary of that. How's that? And
that
then
would be great.
How's that?
The information,
Mary Jo,
the synopsis of the AO and the phytomatrix, that synopsis.
Oh, you mean what I just said?
Yes.
Do you want me to write that up for you?
Quality control.
Okay.
We
can do that.
There's a dearth right now of not having enough information about what we can say about the products.
Mm-hmm.
Even the cornerstone training for the product and technology, the slides and the audio have been... are being revised, and so we don't have anything to really give people to use as a way to present these products and why they're different.
Yeah,
so right. I think having, even if you could put together a PowerPoint on each of the products and what we can say about each product,
mm-hmm.
would be very, very helpful, because otherwise we always feel like we may not be saying what we should or overstepping our boundaries. And it would be very good to have something very clear about what
we
can.
No, I love that. If that's what's needed out there, boy, I'm glad to hear from you guys. This is the kind of feedback we need to get so that we can get in your hands the things you need. So a synopsis of the quality control and a synopsis of how to describe the products from a perspective of why our products are different, right? That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Mary Jo, can one more thing be addressed? The endocrine system is constantly talked about, but more detail about that would really clue the people in that don't know anything about the endocrine system.
Yeah.
A way of understanding and the list of the organs that it would
handle. The gland,
handle.
To talk about, here's our gland, kind of like what I do in my, if any of you have seen me do an opportunity.
Whatever it is,
I talk
detailed.
About the hypothalamus.